Please join me in the reading of today's word. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy, blessed Father, we put no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in and of ourselves, Lord, for our righteousness by which we are accepted by you, Lord, the righteousness by which, Lord, we have fellowship with you is solely in the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We hold fast to him. We hold fast to the atonement which he has accomplished through the cross, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his justifying and resurrection, Lord God. And so, Lord, wholly depending on him, Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would accept us in fellowship with you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us by your word. Anoint us by your spirit, Lord, that we may rightly, Lord, comprehend and apply this glorious truth which you have given for the upbuilding of your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would like to remind everyone that we are continuing our series in James, picking up where we left off last Sunday in the fifth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 19 to verse 20. About 6 months ago, we began our journey through the epistle of James, and having walked through its invaluable teaching together, throughout the weeks and months, we have now arrived at its conclusion. These last two verses in James are incredibly important because it addresses a group of people who are sometimes, if not often, overlooked by the church. But we shouldn't ignore these people, or even regard them as irretrievably lost, because the word of our Lord gives us specific directions for their recovery. Who are these people? These people are wanderers. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, we do need to be careful when it comes to these wanderers, because they can be mistaken for another type of people who have also departed from the truth, regarding whom Scripture provides a rather different set of instructions. And we will address these other people later on in this message. But for now, let's focus on these wanderers. Who are these wanderers that are singled out in our text for today? Well, first of all, we see in verse 19 that these wanderers were once among the brothers of the church. Verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. These people were once among the brothers. They once professed to follow Christ. They once claimed to believe the gospel. They once sat under the truth of its teaching. They were once thought of to be Christians by the body of Christ. But what happened to these people? Well, as we can see in our text, they eventually wandered from the truth of God's word. After devoting themselves for a time to the wisdom from above, these people who professed to know Christ walked away from the heavenly wisdom and were reabsorbed into the wisdom of the world. They discarded their superficial commitment to the word of truth. They abandoned their interest in the Christian faith. You know people like that? They once claimed to be Christian, professed to believe in Christ, were active in the church, seemed quite genuine in their commitment to the gospel, and then they disappeared. Later down the road, we got wind that they had stopped attending church, that they had lost interest in God's word. They no longer thought of themselves as Christians, and by their attitude and way of life were now indistinguishable from any other unbeliever. What does our text for today have to say about people like that? Our text calls these people sinners. Verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I think it is significant that this person who has wandered is described in verse 20 as a sinner. In chapter 4 of this epistle, if you think back, James used that term to describe proud people whom God opposes. There he referred to them as sinners. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And based on the context, we had arrived at the conclusion back then that these sinners were, in fact, unbelievers. People who have never humbled themselves and submitted to the saving will of God in Christ. In today's text, these wanderers are also described as sinners. And based on the context, we can see that they are unsaved. The guilt of their sins have not yet been covered by the blood of Christ. Verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Who are these people who have wandered from the truth? These are people who claim to trust Christ, listen to the teaching of God's word, but were in fact sinners, unbelievers, all along. They claim to believe the gospel, but it seems that they were actually ignorant of its saving message. Or actually, I shouldn't say it seems, they were ignorant of its saving message. I think there are scriptural grounds for deeming that these people described in our text are ignorant of the gospel. This gospel they once claimed to believe. And why do I say that? Well, because elsewhere in the New Testament, we're told that those who have truly apostatized from the Christian faith were once enlightened to the gospel. And this is Hebrews 6. And in that passage in Hebrews 6, which we're about to look at, we're told that those who are guilty of total apostasy cannot be restored to repentance. Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. For it is impossible. You see that word there? Impossible. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. Are these people addressed here in Hebrews 6, these total apostates, are they the same people that is being addressed in our text for today in James 5? Well, after much reflection and study, I'm not convinced that they are. I'm not convinced that they are referring to the same kind of people. And that's because in today's text, we are told to bring the wanderer back to the truth of the gospel. But in Hebrews 6, we are told that it's impossible to restore someone who has truly apostatized to repentance. So it appears they're addressing two different kinds of people. There's the wanderer of James 5, and then there's the bona fide total apostate, as described in Hebrews 6. Sadly, I'm sure that people are mixing up these two classes of people all the time. And that, of course, bodes poorly for the wanderer, given the kind of things that we read about the total apostate in Hebrews 6 as we just went over it. So we're given different guidelines for dealing with the wanderer and dealing with the apostate. So what's the difference between these two classes of people? Well, the difference is that the apostate, as described in Hebrews chapter 6, is not ignorant of the gospel. We read there in verse 4 that they have been enlightened to the truth. They understand the gospel. Of course, this doesn't mean that they have a saving understanding of the gospel, because Scripture elsewhere assures us that when God bestows the gift of saving faith, He preserves that faith until the end. And we've talked about that a lot in the past, the perseverance of the saints. God preserves true faith. So when we read that they have been enlightened, it's not referring to a saving knowledge of the gospel, but it does refer to an intellectual understanding of the gospel. Not a spiritual understanding. Not an understanding that moves a person to repent and gladly embrace Christ Jesus from the heart. But just an intellectual understanding. Intellectual assent. And based on that intellectual assent, they one time claimed to believe in Christ. Furthermore, we read in Hebrews 6 that the total apostate not only understood the gospel, but also, to a certain degree, approved of the gospel. We read that they have tasted of its undeniable goodness. Verse 5, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God. They not only understood it, but they, to a certain degree, approved of it. In fact, we read in Hebrews 6 that they even shared, indirectly so, in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit. Well, we know, of course, that only genuine born-again believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So it's not talking about sealing, it's not talking about indwelling. Then what is it talking about? Well, I think this refers to witnessing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people around them through the truth of the gospel, and even personally benefiting from that transformation in the lives of others. So they indirectly benefited from the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, we read in Hebrews 6 that the total apostate has experienced the powers of the age to come. Verse 5, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. They can attest that this gospel they now spurn has had a powerful effect on the community of the church. That powerful, effective witness firsthand gave them a foretaste of the kind of fellowship and worship that will one day characterize the kingdom of God when Christ returns. They have tasted the powers of the age to come. And yet in the face of their special enlightenment to the gospel and the confirmation of the gospel's goodness, which they have personally enjoyed, what do they do? What does the total apostate do? Well, we read in Hebrews 6 that they repudiate Christ and crucify him once again. Verse 6, and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. They crucify him once again, despite what they know of the gospel and the goodness that they've tasted of it. We read in verse 6 that as they renounce their commitment to Christ, they hold him up to contempt. They abandon the superficial loyalty they once had towards Christ and go on to crucify him, to mock him, to call him an imposter, just like the crowd did when Christ was crucified long ago. The point Hebrews 6 is making is that there is a finality and totality to the apostate's repudiation of Christ. And this does not, I think, describe the wanderer in today's text. I'm quite certain it's referring to two different classes of people. Because the total bona fide apostate repudiates Christ, although he has been enlightened to the gospel and has witnessed its power. We read in Hebrews 6 that they become hardened in their rejection of Christ and cannot be induced to repent. We have no basis to believe that our attempts to bring back that kind of person will be effective. In contrast, we are told in James 5, in today's text, to bring back these wanderers, to bring them back to the truth. So it's for that reason, I think that these wanderers are not dyed-in-the-wool apostates, but rather formerly churched people who've had regular exposure to the gospel, even claimed to believe it at one point, but were ignorant of it, of what it really proclaims all along. And in their ignorance, they've walked away from the teaching of the gospel. Unlike the apostate, there's a good case to argue that the wanderer is ignorant, even shockingly so. Despite having spent a significant amount of time in the church, they're confused and in error about the basic elementary truths of the gospel. They may have wildly unscriptural ideas about the gospel which need to be filtered out. And in a sense, we can't really blame the wanderer for their hostility towards their conception of the gospel, because that conception, which they reject, isn't really the gospel at all, but a warped caricature of the gospel. When attempting to bring back the wanderer, we must help them to recognize that that is the case, that they are ignorant of the gospel. They think they understand the gospel. They've heard all kinds of things about the gospel. They have all these hodgepodge ideas about the gospel. They're not in keeping with God's word. And now it's our job to help them to realize they're ignorant. And once we do that, then we ought to present to them the word of God and truth. But the question is, if these wanderers have been exposed to the gospel, even regularly so, how can they be so ignorant of it? Well, first, one explanation is that these people could have been indoctrinated with a false gospel and then led to believe that they were saved. For years and years, they could have been inundated with a false gospel and then given false assurance. So once they began attending a church where the gospel is truly preached, they come in convinced that they're already saved. And knowing quite a bit of Christian jargon, they're able to masquerade as believers until they wander away from the truth. The other explanation as to why these church people are ignorant could be because they simply lacked interest in the true teaching of the gospel. A lot of people like that. They've been exposed to faithful preaching for a very long time, for years, in fact. But all the while, they just tune it out. Their minds are just too occupied with their temporary worldly concerns, too occupied to seriously listen to the gospel and apply it to themselves. And yet, for all kinds of ulterior motives, they were active in the church. They made an empty profession of faith. They misled others into thinking they were truly Christians. And in reality, these people, these wanderers, as our text calls them, are sinners. They are unbelievers whose souls are unsaved. They may have comprehended something at one point and claimed to believe it, but it was not the true gospel. And because they're unsaved, they abide in spiritual death, and they remain in the guilt of their sins. Verse 19 to 20, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So they're not saved. Their sins have not been covered by the blood of Christ. And yet they identified themselves at one point to be a Christian. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of the true gospel. If a person wanders away from the truth while ignorant, well then, what are they? They're wanderers. What should we do? Well, our text tells us, bring them back. What is involved in bringing the wanderer back? Well, the answer is quite simple. We preach to them the gospel, the true gospel. See, bringing them back does not mean just getting them back into the church building, because we know, of course, that that in and of itself doesn't save a person's soul. But what does save a person's soul is the preaching of the gospel. So here we have this formerly church person who once thought of himself as a Christian, who has wandered from the truth of the gospel, and now we are trying to recover them to that truth. What do we have to do? We have to preach the gospel, and that involves correcting their misconceptions about Christ Jesus, correcting their erroneous ideas about his saving work. We need to fill the glaring gaps in their knowledge of the gospel. They have little bits and pieces, major gaps all over the place. We must help them to see that they were never really saved, even though they thought they were. They were never really saved before they wandered away. And then we must call them to repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is revealed in his word. If they're not ignorant, if they are enlightened to the truth of the gospel, if they do possess a full knowledge of Christ's person and work, if they have witnessed his power at work in others, and yet choose to heap contempt on him, they crucify him again. Well, Hebrews 6 tells us there's not much that we can do for a person like that. That is the total apostate. But again, if they demonstrate they're ignorant and have wandered from the truth in their ignorance, then we are to go and try to bring them back to the truth. And we do that by, first of all, preaching to them the word. And if by the grace of God they listen and repent and are converted onto Christ, then we have truly brought them back to the truth, not just as a hearer of the word only, but as a doer of the word. As we read back in James 1, who will be blessed in his doing. Brothers, do we have a heart to reach the lost? Are we concerned for the souls of the men and women around us? Have we ever considered reaching out not just to those who've never been exposed to the gospel, but to those who have? Have we ever considered reaching out to the wanderers in our own circle? Have we ever considered reaching out to those friends of ours who have wandered away from the Christian faith but are ignorant about what the gospel actually teaches? Listen to what the famous D. James Kennedy once stated in his extensive experience. The vast majority of people who are members of churches in America today are not Christians. I say that without the slightest fear of contradiction. I base it on empirical evidence of 24 years of examining thousands of people. How many of our acquaintances who have long since wandered away from the teaching of the church fall into that category of people? Members of churches all throughout America who are not Christians. They wandered away from the teaching of the church pulpits, the cheap teaching of God's word, but they never really grasped the gospel. They were never truly Christians. They thought they were. They never were. Why? Because they never comprehended the gospel in truth. How many were taught that conversion is just simply a matter of inviting Jesus into your heart? That's all it consists of. Just invite him into your heart. That's not the gospel. How many were taught that conversion is just giving intellectual assent to certain basic facts about Jesus, his death on the cross, and his resurrection? Just understand that intellectually. Say you believe it intellectually, and that's good enough. You're saved. How many pulpits preach that? How many were never confronted with the reality that they are sinners, culpable of God's eternal judgment and wrath. That's an offensive message, and many pulpits never mention that because they want to attract as many people as possible to their churches, and that's going to turn people away. They never mention wrath. They never mention eternal judgment. And yet, how can we understand our need for the gospel and the reason for which Christ Jesus came if we don't even talk about it? If it's never mentioned? If it's covered up? How many were never humbled out of their proud, self-righteous spirit by being confronted by the holy standard of God's law? Some pulpits don't like to even mention the word law. They're allergic to that word. Why? Again, because they won't offend people. But that's what God's law does. It offends. It exposes the fact that we are dreadful sinners in need of the saving grace of God. And we can't possibly put our hope in ourselves. We cannot possibly earn our way into heaven. How many were never made to see their utter helplessness and hopelessness apart from the saving grace of Christ through the preaching of God's law? How many were never clearly taught that in order to appropriate the saving work of Christ for themselves, they must repent of being the Lord of their own lives? They must repent of going their own way and personally trust Christ as both Savior from sin and Lord of all and of their lives? How many were never warned that merely giving intellectual assent to the facts about Christ falls short of saving faith? How many were never warned that we must trust Christ as He is revealed in the Word from the heart? How many were never warned that apart from personally trusting in Christ Jesus for who He is, they will bear the guilt of their sins and suffer the everlasting judgment of a holy and just God? How many were given false assurance that they were saved when they were never humbled before God by the truth of the gospel? How many of our acquaintances who once professed faith in Christ but have since forsaken His word never truly grasped the way of salvation that God has provided through Jesus Christ, His Son? Well, these are wanderers. We know people like that. Consider going to these wanderers for the purpose of bringing them back the truth that they never really understood. We're not talking about dyed-in-the-wool total apostates, those who have already been enlightened, who have already experienced the goodness of God's word. Those people are hardened. Hebrews 6 tells us they're not going to repent. I'm not talking about the total apostate. We're talking about wanderers. Again, the difference being the wanderers are ignorant. Consider going to them in our own circles and helping them to see that they're ignorant and bring to them the grace of God and truth. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, your perfect word, which alone is perfect. The word of man is not perfect, but your word is perfect. You are God, and in you is no darkness at all. And every breathed out word of God has no darkness in it at all. And we receive it as such. And so insofar as this imperfect preaching is in keeping with your perfect word, we pray, Lord God, that we within whom your spirit dwells, we who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit because we have genuinely turn to Christ Jesus in faith because we have been born again by the power of God. Lord, we pray that we will listen. Being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, so that we may be blessed in our doing. And so, Lord, we pray that if you would be so gracious and willing to bring to our minds the wanderers in our own lives, Lord, please grant us, Lord, the willingness to bring them back. If we're not prepared to, if we ourselves are struggling to understand the gospel ourselves, then we need to learn the gospel. And so we pray that we'll be patient. But if we do understand the gospel, if we have a firm grasp of its truths, and we do have the witness within our own hearts of the Holy Spirit's presence, and we're fruitful, mature believers, we pray, Lord God, that we'll listen to your word and we'll consider going and bringing the grace of God and truth to them, so that if it is in your will to save them by that truth, Lord, they may be rescued from their sins, rescued from eternal death, and benefit from the precious atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, which is the only hope of humankind. And we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.